The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. This content is created in partnership with our sponsor, NetWealth Investments Limited, ABN 85090 569 109, AFSL 230975, and is limited to publicly available information. Before acting on any general advice, you should consider whether appropriate and obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license and does not provide any financial advice or services or endorse any general advice. If a PDS or IM exists, you should obtain a copy and review it thoroughly before making a decision.
I'm Patrick, head of technology at professional services firm Collins SBA. I'm a former financial advisor who just loves solving business problems and creating better client experiences using technology. Join me each week as we unpack the tech on offer to advice professionals, stay on top of tech trends, and help you break free from the analysis paralysis experience when building and maintaining a great tech stack.
Imagine a world where wealth technology is simplified. NetWealth is continually investing in new tools and platform features to optimize your staff productivity and to give you and your clients the best user experience. With our managed accounts functionality, bring new efficiency and scale to your investment operations. A world of technology awaits. Discover it at netwealth.com.au/woo.
To give listeners of the Advice Tech podcast another avenue to solve technology problems that matter most and efficiently evaluate the landscape of Advice Tech providers, Ensemble has launched an Advice Tech space on its platform. If you want to know how your advice peers are solving their tech challenges, big and small, it's the place to go. Head to the Ensemble platform or use the link in the show notes to join today.
Today's episode is special, not just because I'm joined by George Haramas from MoneyGPS, but it also marks episode 150, and yes, time really does fly. So since George's last appearance on episode 100, so definitely coincidence there, George and his team have been very busy, so building new SOAs, expanding into the employer market, and even integrating AI agents that are RG146 accredited. In this conversation, we cover how MoneyGPS has scaled its platform for national groups and super funds, its game-changing SMSF strategic review tool, and what the next 12 months of digital advice could look like, from interactive video SOAs to fully scalable 24/7 AI-assisted advice journeys. We also reflect on the evolving human-tech balance and why leveraging technology is no longer optional for advice businesses that want to stay relevant. Before we dive in, a big shout out to Michael Savas for helping me shape today's run sheet and pulling together resources that made this conversation possible. And given this is an update episode, I started by asking George what the newest piece of tech he owns is.
Well, last time I think we caught up, you know, what was the oldest piece of tech I owned was the calculator that I had since the late 80s. My 3.5-year-old granddaughter got hold of that calculator, and now I have a brand new calculator.
Wow.
So that's the newest piece of tech that I
own. was it slammed against a brick wall or something? Well, how's that just
fallen to pieces? She was quite active in playing with it. It was an old thing. It's no longer an old thing. It's a dead thing.
Oh, goodness. And is it a similar model? Like, they haven't changed that much, have they?
No, but it's a little bit more sophisticated. That's true. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you still got that and you've upgraded. So, speaking of sophistication, last year, your response to using AI was basically it was a false start because you were trying to get moussaka as a recipe from ChatGPT. Has that evolved 12 months on, George? Like, how are you using it now? How has that evolved in the last sort of 12 months or so?
Look, I had a good look at ChatGPT and was playing around with it for a while, just testing it out. And I do use it. I do use it on a regular basis for certain things. Most of the time I focus on just making sure my communication of people is more succinct. And if I'm looking at putting together a concise sort of offering, I'll write it out, give it some long instructions, review it, and redo it a couple of times. So I use it as a bit of a safety net, but also to assist me to become a little bit more efficient in delivering any communication piece that I need to. So I think it's great if you give it the right instructions, but you do review everything it gives you. That's what I do.
And with it, no, it's totally a safety net, and also just becoming a thought partner, which is great. Yeah. And then I'm really excited for today's discussion. We've coincidentally, you were episode 100 and this will be episode 150. So it's been 50 episodes or about 12 months since the last update. Can you give those that aren't familiar a quick overview of the MoneyGPS platform,
Sure.
And then we'll talk about what's changed in the last 12 months, et cetera.
Sure. So just with some background, MoneyGPS was formed just a little over 6 years ago. The objective in forming the business was to meet the needs of 80 to 90% of the population that can't afford comprehensive or complex advice, which, you know, the last research report said its median fee for about $4,700. The aim of the platform was to deliver digitally generated personal financial advice, single topic advice that was issued by the MoneyGPS AFSL. So we provide whatever the financial planner provides in a complex scenario, we mirror that for single topic. The only differences are that we do not have any internal ARs. The algorithm will determine the most appropriate or those advice topics that are in the best interest of the client to use. So we meet the best interest rule. The advice is issued by the AFSL. So hence we meet the best interest rule, the know your client rule, everything that you would expect an AFSL to do. We can co-brand or white label that platform for an accounting firm, an advice business, and now employers when working the employer market. And we have users and been operational now for a little over 3 years.
I love it. And you're still an RM on the license, George?
Yes, I am. We now have two RMs on the license. Thanks, Patrick. On both licenses, because we have two AFSLs. Yeah. So, and look, the reality is this, you know, we issue single topic advice. We built the algorithm with a cohort of financial advisors, compliance people, legal people, actuaries. So we know the algorithm and the calc engine inside out. And we have no qualms in issuing the advice. Quite happy to take on the advice risk for a financial planning business. And it's usually the first thing they ask us. Whose license do we use, George? So we use mine. Oh, good. So let's keep talking. And it's the same if we're talking to a super fund. They'll invariably ask us the question within the first 30 minutes, whose license are we going to use?
Who's carrying the can? No, it's as I said last episode, it's a real testament to the confidence you must have in what you've built in terms of the process and the automation behind it. There's no internal ARs. Like it's absolutely compelling.
It's look, we're quite proud of what we've built when you look at it, because you know, if I'm a certain type of client, I can go from completing a fact find to investing my money in a savings investment SOA, starting up an account-based pension, looking at a TTR strategy, you know, investing in a, you know, salary sacrifice. It's all under our license. You can do it digitally. The reality is, though, Patrick, and we've seen it time and time again, the older the person who's using the service, the more likely they are that they want to speak to an individual. So, we do have salaried ex-advisors who we call GPS coaches, and they're there to, you know, validate responses on the fact find, help the client to the next stage of the process, start an SOA and so on. But it can be done fully digitized, right? That was the aim. I just think it'll be probably another 12 to 24 months before people are taking it on fully digital, but with the support of AI. And that's the next big thing we're introducing.
I'm incredibly excited on the AI angle and how far that's come over the last 12 months in particular as well. I remember you mentioning around where people either got stuck or wanted help, or where the value was the implementation of that advice. Like they get that single topic advice. Are you still seeing that as where those ex-advisors, those coaches are coming in to sort of handhold through that process?
Absolutely. So, you know, if we can just sort of step back a minute, the cohort that we're focusing on is, and I'm generalizing here, financially not as sophisticated as the clients, you know, some advisors may be meeting with. So we've got to make sure that we give them every opportunity to engage with a human, because that's what they want to do right now. If, you know, if I don't understand what salary sacrifice means, I can ask someone. Having said that, there's a bunch of education modules on the platform anyway that they can use for free. We always incorporate education into an SOA to help them along the way. But the human element is great. The challenge with the human element is scalability. So for example, since we last met, we've signed a contract with one of the top 10 global group insurers called the Howden Group, who have appointed us as their digital advice and financial wellness partner in Australia. We've obviously also had a chat to them about doing something in the UK, but let's just put that to one side. You know, the first client that they wanted to introduce us to has 1,600 staff and 275,000 members. You know, what do you do? I can't find the number of GPS coaches to look after those people, right? Then the next client is 10,000 staff. So what do you do? What you do is you scale using sort of different channels, you know, having internal people, maybe having a call center where we train a group of GPS coaches that are on call to sort of look after people at peaks and troughs during the day or the week. And then you bring in AI. So we have formed a relationship with an external group who specializes in AI agents. And I have tested out the agents, some of my staff, to try and break them, and, you know, we couldn't break them. So the next step, and we've started the process, is to integrate the AI agent into various parts of the advice process or the overall process with MoneyGPS. And those AI agents will be RG146 accredited. I mean, it blows your mind away, right? The AI agent is going to be RG146 accredited, and they will take on a lot of the grunt work that a human GPS coach will do, right up to the point perhaps where they can help with implementation. Then there'll be a handover. And who knows, you know, 6 months or 12 months down the track, because the tech is moving so fast, the AI agent could do the whole thing and be monitored, you know, within the certain guardrails we set up by a GPS coach that oversees maybe 10, 20, 30, 50 of them. Quite amazing.
Oh, right. It is quite amazing. And I'd love to probably reflect a bit more on what you've done over the last 12 months. Like, is there anything else that you could talk to that's really changed or evolved in that time? It looks like you've been incredibly busy. And that, I'm really keen to come back to AI as well, because I think it's just such an interesting topic.
Yeah, look, it is the future, whether people like it or not. You know, we've all seen the articles in the Fin Review and the papers and about organizations bringing in AI. But advisors and anybody in this area must start to leverage the tech more. That's the big hobby horse of mine at the moment. You need to leverage the tech to scale and grow your business and to just be relevant, right? Because sooner or later, the tech will overtake you if you're not. Look, some of the big advancements come in the area of tech. We're building more SOAs. And very importantly, as just digressing for a minute, if I can, as an AFSL delivering advice, we've got to make sure, and we do it all the time, that we deliver a piece of advice as a normal AFSL would do. So we not only review the client's circumstances to make sure that the advice topic is relevant and is in their best interest, and it's different for everybody, but we look at strategy and product advice. It's, you know, not having a product, you know, not having a product proposition, you're only providing part of the solution. And we've had feedback from clients in focus groups and research that we've done. They want the full solution. So I just want to impress upon people that are listening that we do provide a full solution to the client's needs as any normal AFSL would. We just do it digitally. In terms of products, you know, we're about to release a first-time super saver SOA for the young ones. It's really funny. I was talking about this to one of the young guys in the marketing team, and he said, "Oh, what's that?" And I explained to him, "Well, this is what you use it for." And he said, "I didn't know they existed." I said, "Probably most of the people your age demographic don't." He said, "No." He said, "Where can I get one?" I said, "Well, you can get one when we finish it." But the, you know, one of the great things about delivering something like that is that you not only open a market, you open people's eyes to the fact that, my gosh, there's something that I can use to help me actually get a home loan, get into my first property, first home. So first home super saver. Followed by an insurance-only SOA. So full insurance, inside-outside super. That'll be released in probably November. And then we are releasing a fairly heavy-duty retirement income SOA that calibrates for people's eligibility for government pension. And then the optimal mix that they need to put in, invest in an account-based pension or a lifetime income stream to maximize income and end benefit. Never been done before. So we've sort of matured in terms of building and creating digital product or SOAs, and that's quite exciting for us because in the new year, we're rounding out our full suite of base SOAs in the first quarter, including SOAs for self-managed super funds.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that too. And just to clarify, and I think you're thinking about this differently, which I really like, and it's sort of like an add to cart experience, isn't it? Like when you say you're building an SOA for this, you're essentially adding that topic to the library, and that becomes, because it's a single topic, that's what you're producing.
Yeah, so we have I think there's about 8 or 9 single topic SOAs at the moment. The two that I've just mentioned will be on stream this year, and then 4 in the first quarter, plus the SMSF SOA. So we're building out a suite of digital product SOAs, and that, you know, that suite of SOAs will be the foundation, I believe, for other bespoke SOAs that people want us to build, whether it's in, that's in superannuation or more complicated areas. We've now developed a process where we can construct an SOA in a relatively short period of time using our sort of code base.
No, nice one. And then from a, you mentioned bespoke before, and you've got these huge clients that you've mentioned over the past, you know, your flagship clients here, or the, you know, you mentioned that top 10 global one, the Howden Group. Are these sort of bigger firms, or it doesn't even have to be bigger firms, but they're coming to you with their own sort of APL and they're saying, can you put this into the platform?
Look, the AFSLs that talk to us, Patrick, have asked us about APLs, and the reality is that because we issue advice under our AFSL, it's got to be our APL as a starting point. Otherwise, you know, we're not doing the right thing. And the second is that, you know, we just have to make sure that given the client cohort that we're engaging, they're not as financially sophisticated as some others. They have simple needs. Therefore, the APL and the providers we have on the APL must be mainstream. We're not here to shoot out the lights. We're here to provide solid returns to cater for people's requirements. So it's got to be our APL. Now, if an AFSL said to me, love the platform, but we want the advice to be under our AFSL, then we can license the platform to the AFSL itself. So we can do that. It's not an inexpensive exercise, but it's getting sort of cheaper by the day. And our new integration tech that we've sort of started to talk to some of the larger super funds about will help reduce that price and make it a lot more efficient for a large AFSL, a national AFSL, to do that.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So basically you're saying to them, if you want to use your own products or, you know, an array of your products, then BYO AFSL, you carry the can, we'll give you the tech and you can go from there.
And look, the other thing too is that if we've had a number of AFSLs come to us and say, we've got a set of, you know, SMAs, can you build an advice journey for us? Well, I can, but again, it's got to be done separately to sort of our mainstream offering. So there's a cost involved. And if I was in an AFSL shoes, an external AFSL, I'd wait till the new sort of integration process is completed. Then I'd talk to us because it would be a lot more efficient to do that.
No, absolutely. And I'm going to pivot back to AI. So you're really intrigued by the agent discussion and how that's going to be scaling, you know, the work that's currently done by the coaches. Is that currently live, or how have you been testing it currently in terms of, is it around coaching of what the advice actually is? Like, take us through how it's being used in the platform.
So we've tried out the current AI agent capability of the organization that we've decided to partner with. We've had a number of meetings with them about our specific needs to replace some of the work that the GPS coach is undertaking. My question to them originally was, and I thought it was a really silly question, oh, can these things be RG146 accredited? And they said, yes, as long as we provide them with the right information, i.e. the course, and we build guardrails around what they can and what they cannot say. They said, anything can be trained to deliver anything you want. We just need a starting point, which is really the course itself. And then we adapt that to suit money GPS requirements. Currently, we're looking at the various steps along the advice process and engagement process that MoneyGPS has in place, and we're determining where the AI agent would fit in and what exactly would the AI agent deliver. So, and we're taking baby steps, right? Very baby steps. You know, we've tried to break it a few times. We couldn't break it. Now we're sort of getting to the point where we're beginning to integrate it into the process, designing the blueprint before we actually start delivering. And we'll do that again slowly, right? We'll do it slowly.
Oh, absolutely. And then does that extend to, like, even though we're talking about firms with thousands and thousands of either, you know, a team or end customers, does that same use case apply for your sort of suburban financial planning practice accounting firm?
Of course. Yeah. So whether an accounting firm has 100 or, you know, 300 clients and maybe 25 SMSFs, and another firm might have 5,000 tax clients and 400 SMSFs, it doesn't matter, right? The agents will work 24/7, you know, no sickies. no time off, no back chat. You know, it's very efficient, and we have to do it because, you know, we've been very fortunate to secure some national groups and an international business, and they have significant client groups that we need to service.
I think it's also, it's a good way to stress test at that level of interaction where you can then, you know, if it works for them, it's going to work for firms with less sort of demand or less demand on that platform. But also, I also think that, as you mentioned, no sickies, but also 9 to 5 and the 24/7, if your clients or end users are on the couch or just anything that's outside of hours, they can engage the agent when they want to, right?
That's right. That's right. I mean, they can call them at 3 o'clock in the morning if they like. They'll still be working, you know, whereas the coaches, of course, it's normally 9 to 5, 9 to 6 or 8 to 6, you know, something like that. It is far more scalable, more efficient and effective, and delivers a service when the client wants it.
You mentioned call there. So I always default to text-based agents. Are you talking about voice agents as well?
Yes, voice.
Oh, wow.
Voice. So they'll be able to call and speak to someone. So, you know, the first agent I spoke to was an agent called Olivia, and she rang me to make an appointment with my financial planner. I don't have a planner. And I tried to broker, and I couldn't. And then I tested her again when in the middle of a presentation I did to a large accounting group, national conference in front of 150 people. I took a call mid-presentation.
Wowee. I should have went a bit better than the sort of Meta release last week with the glasses.
Yeah. I didn't see that, but people were looking at me thinking, what is this idiot doing? He's taking a phone call in the middle of a presentation. And, you know, we went on for about 2 minutes and I hung up and I apologized, and people were still looking at me thinking, what has he done? And I said, look, just so you know, that was not a human. That was an AI agent, because I was talking about AI and digital technology. And they said, yeah, you've got to be kidding me. I said, that was an AI agent. Seeing off a very simple script. Now, that was a very simple call. So, you know, these things are sophisticated. People are using them all around the world. They're not just used to make reservations at a restaurant, or, you know, you buy wine off the phone. They're used to engage humans, and they'll become much more sophisticated. And, you know, the follow-up to that, Patrick, is that once they get to that point where you feel quite comfortable in continuing to grow that part of your business, then the next stage, of course, is to put an avatar in front of it, right?
Jesus, you know, there's
that's the
Yeah, we have come a long way since Musaka, and there's a fair bit of sort of Steve Jobs.
I still haven't got that right, by the way.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Can I push you on the, is that, like, if we've got that as such a approachable, you know, medium of connecting with, say, MoneyGPS or the white label platform, do the humans or the current coaches become like a premium service? Like, where do you see them in the future of the product?
That's a really good question, actually. That's a very good question. I see the coaches having a couple of aspects to their role. The first is monitoring, you know, what we're doing, how we're building, and making sure the guardrails are there, and, you know, improving on that all the time, because they're the ones that are knowledgeable in that area. And the second is that, how you call it, a premium service. If we're implementing an insurance SOA or a retirement income SOA, well, there's a bit of sophistication there that we need to adhere to, right, to get it right. So that's probably where the coach will end up. But at the very end of the process, not all the way through, where the grunt work will be done by the tech. Yeah.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
And look, to be honest, not everyone's going to speak to an AI agent, right? Someone's going to say, mate, I just want to speak to a human, right? So fine, all right, speak to a coach. It might cost them to speak to a coach, right? With an AI agent, it probably won't, because it's scalable and, you know, we can have 100 of them at any one time. So it's much easier, but that's probably will happen.
I think it also elevate those coaches too, because they will be helped by the existing agents to get all the context and get where, you know, where you should be focusing on what the problems are. So I think there's a lot of potential there. If we sort of pivot to integrations, I've seen that you've done a lot of work on that over the past 2 months. It probably links to where I'm sort of more referring to is your SMSF offering. But, you know, you've got Open Banking, Xero, your SMSF platform, so BGL, Class, et cetera, Xplan connections. Has that changed your trajectory of the platform? And how are you sort of tackling integrations in general?
Yeah, good question. So the pathway hasn't changed. We focused on building the SOA since we last spoke. So Open Banking is actually being integrated this October. So that's been scheduled, and then followed by Xero, Xero Tax, and then Xplan. Xplan is the biggie. we left that to last because it most likely will be a little bit intricate, but
a little bit, yeah.
fine tuned the SMSF integration. So that's working really well now, and refining what we're doing there with user feedback. Very good user feedback, actually, some sort of national accounting groups. But open banking is the big one because, and as I said, that's being integrated in October. That will allow us to source the expense data, categorize the expense data, and then populate the various aspects of the fact find to reduce the time it takes to complete the fact find. It's still around 10 to 15 minutes, depending upon, you know, who's doing it and time of day and so on. So we hope to sort of up to maybe halve that time. And of course, if we're working with a super fund or an institution that says, okay, we're happy to give you client data, we can pre-populate the fact find. Still do that.
Yep. No, it's congratulations. I think it's such a challenge, and it also, yeah, I assume it helps with, you know, take-up rates and completion rates, but also does that reduce the risk on you because the data's come from somewhere trusted rather than someone inputting it themselves?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an opt-in by the client, and the client, it's their responsibility to put in the right data. We go by what the client gives us. It's a bit like a planner asking someone to complete a fact find. This doesn't look quite kosher. Let's have a chat. Well, once they complete the digital fact find, and that's part of the coach's role as well, because once they complete the fact find and they're issued with a money checkup or a retirement checkup and they meet with a coach, the coach can also, because of their background, review any input and output and query that. And we're required, if it's not right or they, you know, it's complex, they triage to the advisor. So that's a bit of a safeguard there as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. And do you think that enables sort of moving forward more proactive advice? If you've got those data feeds in there, if it's cash flow or, you know, balance is changing, you could basically pick up if someone's ready for retirement or they can increase contributions, et cetera?
Yeah, predictive learning is part of the sort of game here, because the more data we've got, the more information about the client that we can review and analyze, and we can predict, you know, the objective and the idea is to predict, you know, next steps. So actively learning and predicting and then engaging is really what we want to do, because we want to get closer to the client, and the way to get closer to the client is to learn more about the client. And once we've got the data, that's the starting point.
Yeah. Yep. I also think that would be an incredible string to the bow for your AI agents to start that conversation or the outreach as well.
That's right.
Met Olivia before. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they can make phone calls, you know, they can send texts, you know, just program what you want them to do, and away you go.
Yep. And it's so, as worse as it's going to be as well. Like, it's only going to get better.
It is. And I would encourage as many people listening to your show to really look at technology and AI. And if it's not within, you know, if you're not incorporating in your business, then you should be, you know, listen to this old guy that's been around for a long time. You should be, because we've seen all the changes in the industry. And there's one thing that's certain, there's going to be more change, and that change will be led by technology. I mean, the regulators have been too slow, you know, looking at this. We're still waiting for DBFO. How many years now? So from a tech perspective, though, it's a good way to scale your business, whether you're in Melbourne and you can have clients all over the country and referral partners all over the country. It doesn't matter now. You can use the tech, which is exactly what we're doing.
Absolutely. No, it's incredibly exciting time. And I'd like to do maybe not so much a deep dive, but just go through the three offerings, because it is a little bit like you've got a finger in every pie there, George. So you've got the professional platform, D2C or direct to consumer, and the SMSF offering. Is that right? But first question is Money GPS, are you still an advisor's new best friend? Like, has that changed?
We're always an advisor's best friend. But to answer your question, so we have the SMSF platform, where that's a B2B. We work with the accounting firm directly, and then they will deliver the report, the outcome of any review.
Let's start there, because I'm really intrigued by that. Like, can you take us through, I guess, the process of what that would typically look like? Because I'm really intrigued by this.
So, you know, accountants, there are about 10,000 accounting firms around the country that work in the SMSF space. You know, SMSFs now manage or look after just over $1 trillion of superannuation assets. So a lot of money. The SMSF platform was designed to provide a strategic review of any SMSF that uses BGL, Simple Fund 360, or Class Super, which we've now integrated with both organizations. What it provides the accountant is the ability to deliver a strategic review without being licensed. It, you know, we offer a factual report. They deliver the guidance. There will be tax advice come out of that. They don't have to be licensed to deliver that. But for any financial planning work that comes out of it, and we do identify a lot of financial planning opportunities, they will pass that or refer that on to a financial planner, unless they're licensed. The challenge, Patrick, is that less and less accounting firms are now licensed for SMSF purposes, right? So that's just waning. It's nearly dead. So the SMSF report is used to get closer to the trustees and members. It shows the members and trustees that the accountant's quite proactive. And it's a simple traffic light system that we use within the report to identify all the areas that, you know, might be flagged in red that the accountant needs to work on. We do the grunt work of someone spending hours or days or weeks trying to do the same thing in less than 1 minute. Less than 1 minute. And next year we'll be building SMSF SOAs to be delivered to the accountant. Yeah.
This, I am particularly intrigued by this because what you sent me through, you mentioned the traffic light system, that's incredibly easy to read, but it goes into such detail and is an absolute no-brainer, in my opinion, of an accountant who's managing SMSF, and they'd be silly not to have it on those sort of two platforms. Like what are you doing if it's not on Class or BGL?
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got things like performance benchmarking. Like, I'm sure that's every question a client would have in the back of their head at the very least of what is my performance of this thing that I chose or is it advised to self-manage versus everyone else. Performance breakdown, cost to manage, that's just another huge one. Things like binding death benefit nominations or estate planning, like it's a full x-ray, isn't it? It's freaking awesome.
It's a full analysis. The downside, if there is any, if performance is below benchmark or costs are above benchmark, right? And the accounts, the usual question is, hey, can just I remove this page?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So in the enhancements, which are, I think, being released by the end of October, you will be able to remove a page or a couple of pages if you think it appropriate. But, you know, it's we worked with accounting firms before MoneyGPS, and the amount of tax work, strategic advice that's left on the table because accountants are busy doing compliance work. And I feel for them because they're getting smashed with all this all the time. So their ability to do strategic work, which they really want to do, is limited. And, you know, it takes less than a minute to do this per fund. So why wouldn't you do it? Right? Why wouldn't you do it?
I think as well, even if that is not going to be client facing, like that could, which it should be, like it's a beautiful report, which we'll be sure to put in the show notes or just somewhere accessible. That could be run on every SMSF in a practice and referred to the financial planner indirectly.
Correct.
And we could say, we have this for you. Here's the high level report, and we can delve into more detail if you want. But even as you mentioned, like we're talking in jest about deleting pages, like that could be why we did the report, because your freaking costs and the returns of this thing are abnormal. Like we need to take action.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it really comes back to the accountant being proactive, but now they've got the tools. There's no excuse here, right? These guys should be leaders in financial services. And now they have the tools. The tech has allowed them to really enter the market in such a way that they don't need to be licensed, but they need, just like a planner, they need to leverage the tech.
Absolutely. And then from a, let's go to the professional platform. So my understanding is that's the white labeled solution still. Is that right? Can you take us through that just for advisors and for firms that want to white label it?
So we have a standard MoneyGPS platform with all the advice topics. We've got, you know, 43 education modules that are between 8 and 15 minutes, video-style modules. No product push, just pure education. They're for free. Got a bunch of calculators. And very importantly, Patrick, just to reinforce, the algorithms that we've built don't just focus on advice topics. They will review someone's complete financial requirements. So they might say, hey, George, you need ABC advice topics to help you achieve your end financial goals, but hey, your mortgage doesn't look right. You could be doing better. You don't have a will. What's not up to date? Your insurance needs, you know, upgrading. And if you're a little bit older, you might need to downsize or look at home equity relief. All those things are taken into account by the platform. Now, the platform itself is a standard look and feel, but we can remove the MoneyGPS logo, put the advisor's logo on the platform or the accounting firm's logo. Look at their brand guidelines to put the colors, because so that's the first thing. The second thing is that because we have all these other ancillary services available, like lending, insurance, and so on, we do have default providers. so that our compliance and investment committee has reviewed and selected default providers. However, if I'm an advice practice or an accounting practice, I can say, but George, I provide 3 or 4 or 5 of those services. That's great. We remove our default providers and we replace them with your service. So we can customize the services on the platform to the nth degree, depending upon how many you want to integrate. And you will generate, with our help, because we do all the marketing for you as well. So there's a full marketing program as part of the fee. You will generate business by stealth. Once people complete our documents, they speak to the GPS coach or to the AI agent, they will start to refer those clients to not only complete the SOAs, but also the other services to access those other services. And they'll be your services as our subscribing partner.
I'm really intrigued by that, especially around the marketing side too. Have you got any examples of those sort of custom services they're adding? Like, is it sort of like personal CFO stuff?
Sure. So we will. In the body of the platform, are you talking about the lending or insurance or the
what are these white labeled platforms adding that's not coming out of the box?
Oh, okay. So they're adding all your relevant services that you would want to put in as a starting point. And the, you know, if it's a financial planning business, you can put in your insurance, your lending, your estate planning, your comprehensive advice, you retain 100% of the revenue. So we don't take any share of that. If you want to add on new services, accounting firms have been asking us, can we add on our tax and advice offering? Great. So that's on the platform as well. If you want to add on your, I don't know, if you've got a property-based service that you use, we've got that available. We can put on the tile. We can customize it any which way you want, as long as we review the provider and from a compliance point of view, we make sure there's no issues with ASIC or any other regulator. We do a due diligence on every provider that goes on there.
Of course. No, that's really intriguing. And from the marketing side, like what does that involve if that's part of the fee?
Yeah, look, good question. I mean, the one thing that we learned when we were dealing with accounting firms a long time ago was that they, you know, as I say every now and then, they get smashed by compliance. You know, they focus on engaging with clients. They haven't got much time for doing anything else. So we provide an end-to-end solution. So when someone subscribes to us, Patrick, we not only provide them with a white label offering, we can customize the platform services. We actually provide a full marketing program where we will launch the service to the clients. We provide all communications. We engage the clients through EDM, email, and text. We provide a monthly newsletter. We'll provide a webinar every now and then as a special event. So we will do all of that for the client on their behalf as part of the fee. There's no extra that we charge for providing a full-blown marketing program for the Money GPS offering. And we're just finalizing the marketing program for SMSFs. So we will help an accounting firm launch the SMSF checkup report and the service to their SMSF clients, provide a monthly newsletter, as well as a whole bunch of other services that we've got on the Money GPS SMSF platform. Everything's done for them, everything.
Yeah, it's just trying to find reasons not to take it up. Like it just makes a lot of sense in terms of having that go-to-market strategy there and done for you. I'm sure they can, you know, further tailor it as they want to, but it's all there in terms of that toolkit.
It is as a starting point. You know, you can start, you can launch the service, see how you go, because there's always a 1 month free trial, and then fine tune the offering down the track. And what some firms do, if we're talking to about an accounting practice, they will either launch the SMSF or the Money GPS service as a starting point, and then come back and look at the other one, depending upon the focus of their business. Yeah. It's sort of quite common for accounting firms to do one or the other and then come back.
Yeah. Dip the toe in the water. No, it makes a lot of sense. And then the third offering, D2C, or direct-to-consumer, is that still a focus, or I'm just trying to reflect on New Best Friend?
No, New Best Friend continues to be with the advisor and the accountant and the employer. Direct-to-consumer, it's a big ask. You know, we're focused on a number of different channels, and to go direct-to-consumer, I think, is a step we can think about down the track when we get a little bit more scale. I will sort of just add one point to the finger in a few pies. All of the work we do with the accounting firms, financial advisors, and employers uses the same operating platform. So it's very effective and efficient. So the fact that we're in 3 different markets, well, that's okay because the offering is basically the same. The messaging is slightly different, and employers in particular have a slightly different message and also services that we can provide. But essentially, so overall, it's the same. So it delivers that scalability for us as well as efficiency.
Thank you for clarifying. I think as well, we didn't touch on it very much. You've mentioned it a couple of times around employers. So that's those employers providing like a wellness solution or a solution to their team.
Correct. Yeah, correct. So the focus is on financial wellness and affordable advice. And the reason we focus on wellness so much is because I think it's one day out of every five people spend thinking about their financial situation. There's a lot of financial stress. You know, we hear that all the time. Absenteeism grows as stress grows. You lose people to other groups because they can pay more. And therefore, there's a huge loss in productivity by the employer. I think the last stat I read was about $39 billion annually is lost to financial stress in terms of productivity. So if you can improve someone's financial position, you reduce their stress and long-term well-being. Therefore, their mind is more focused on the job, more productive, better environment, love my employer, looks after me, therefore I'm sticking around, the employer's happy, everybody's happy. And it's a global issue. It's not just here, but overseas. And we've obviously spoken to some people over in the UK about this. Yeah, so that's our key message. They're our key messages with the employers.
I think too, like if we think about financial planning, accounting firms, whether they're separate or together, it's actually a great way for your team to get exposed to like the benefits of financial advice, and they can then further, you know, fly the flag for the clients that they actually work for on a daily basis.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, we aim to engage with the staff of the practice that subscribes to us. We're rolling out an employee offering for the staff of those practices, because we have one for the employers, so there's no different whether you're employed by an accounting practice, advice business, or I don't know, BHP, you're still a staff member, so you need to look after them. There's no difference in the focus by any employer across those channels. It's all the same. You know, I want to keep my good. And how often do you hear, particularly from accounting and advice businesses, I just can't get the staff. I'm trying to find the staff, keep the staff that I've got. So you need to look after them, and this is one way to do it in a really cost-effective way.
Totally. No, well done. I think it's an awesome, yeah, I said obviously the things in the pies, but as you mentioned, the architecture and just the market applications for this, like your TAM feels infinite, which is amazing. And then, I mean, last year you said that, you know, digital advice would soon be the standard. It's only been 12 months. That can often feel like it's gone really quickly, or sometimes it hasn't based on what's changed. But yeah, you said that. So digital advice will still be in the standard. If you're not delivering it, someone else will. Do you still feel that way? What are your sort of general reflections on where we are now, 12 months later?
Look, I'm exceptionally positive about the industry, the digital advice industry. There's a number of players. We all do something a little bit different. But what I can tell you is just our experience in engaging with not just accountants and advisors, but now employers, which is a big change since we talked last year, but also the super funds. So over the last 6 months, we've seen a gradual lift in engagement with super funds. We ran an industry-wide survey with the Funds Executive Association, FEAL, who looks after all the industry fund in this country. A great survey about their view on retirement income covenant, retention, digital advice. A lot of key issues came out of that, a lot of information, but also meeting with funds who are looking to ramp up their digital advice offering and also their need to meet their retirement income covenant responsibilities. Our advice technology, which has progressed since the last time we spoke, has been of interest to some of those funds. So I'm quite encouraged by what I've sort of seen and, you know, people I've spoken to, particularly over the last 6 months.
No, very exciting. And, you know, I've reflected a lot about the last 12 months, given it's an update episode, and you've taken us through a couple of the things that are coming shortly. But what would you say the next 12 months looks like from a, you know, MoneyGPS perspective and its partners?
I think the next 12 months will see us complete our base suite of digital tools, digital advice products. That's very important, right? That's very important. The integrations that we've spoken about, but we now have a number of national clients in each of the channels we're working in. I mean, we're the digital advice provider for the AIOFP. We work with a number of national accounting groups and associations, and with Howden and some of the other groups that we work in the employer space. It means that we now have access to significant potential client bases where we just need to go bigger as a business from a commercial point of view, but always looking at enhancing our delivery of digital product. And what I'd really like to see, and we've spoken about a couple of times internally, is video-style SOAs. I don't mean just preparing an SOA and sticking it in a video, but interactive video SOAs where it's not a document that people read and engage with. It's an interactive process with the SOA online. That's what we'd really like to get to.
Do you think that further reduces the reliance or the need for speaking to someone, whether that's a human or an agent, if they've got that interactivity, like informed consent?
I think the answer is yes, basically, because if they're interacting with the SOA and the AI agents there and the avatars there, well, they're simple SOAs, so we should be able to implement using those pieces of technology. I just think it'll get to the stage where that'll happen. Whether it's in the next 6 months or 12 or 18, I don't know, but it'll happen within 2 years, absolutely, yeah. If not a lot sooner. So,
no, it's exciting. And it is exciting. I think as well, it feels like it's moving towards whatever medium suits you. Like it could even be, you know, that SOA becomes a podcast or Olivia calls you to read it to you, for example,
yeah,
bedtime story.
Maybe. Yeah, yep. You know, Elvis gives you calls and sings it to you. Yeah?
Whatever, yeah, exactly. Whatever connects with your brain. Exactly right.
That's right. I mean, I just find it mind-boggling, right? Mind-boggling. And the reality is the kids that are growing up these days are using the technology. That's what they know. They don't know speaking to someone about something. They'll look it up on their iPhone or their iPad, right? It's like my granddaughter. You know, her other granddad has an Apple Watch.
I think it's a calculator that's also broken.
Yeah, yep. That's right. So she's playing on his watch, you know, flicking for the different pages. I've got an old Timex. She looked at mine. She tried to flick it. Didn't flick. And she looked at me and said, you know, what's going on? You know, this thing doesn't work. So there you go.
No, it definitely is mind-boggling. And I guess if we bring it back to advisors and accountants sort of running their own practice or in their practice, what are some of the key takeaways for them and I guess the single next best step they should take to engage with MoneyGPS?
A couple of takeouts is that, number one, keep an open mind on the tech. You have to keep an open mind. It's not as if it's going to bypass your business. It'll run straight through your business if you don't keep an open mind. I would encourage everybody to review and use the tech as much as possible to help them leverage and grow their business and future-proof their business. I would encourage them to call us because we're the only digital provider working in the accounting space and SMSF space. I think, you know, we're pretty good in terms of engaging with advisors nationally with some of the groups we're working with. And we understand, because we've got an advice background and we work with accountants, we understand the business. So that helps as well. It's great producing the tech, but we have a knowledge about the businesses, whether it's accounting, advice, or SMSF. We know the space. So we can articulate and put together sales, marketing strategies, engagement strategies with any firm that wants us to. And we're quite happy to do it, right? Quite happy to do it.
Brilliant. George, congratulations on your success so far. And thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Patrick. It's great to be with you again. And I look forward to the 200th episode, perhaps.
Pencil it in. You beauty.
We'll do it. Okay.
Thanks, George.
Righto. Thanks, Patrick. Cheers.